Better work presentations are possible. They're called Canva presentations. You can supercharge your work decks with AI-powered Canva presentations. Just start with a prompt, and Canva presentations will generate captivating slides in seconds. Or start with a stunning template and add images, graphics, charts, and data visualizations from their massive media library. You save time and wow your audience. There's a reason why Canva is used by 90% of the Fortune 500 companies. So nail your next work presentation with Canva presentations by heading to canva.com. Designed for work. Robert Half research indicates that 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Their specialized recruiting professionals engage with their proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, they know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
This is 99% Invisible. I'm Roman Mars. Every game from rock, paper, scissors to tennis to Mario Kart is a design system.
I like to think of game design as a design discipline that is sort of shoulder to shoulder with other design fields like graphic design or architecture or industrial design.
This is Eric Zimmerman.
I work at the NYU Game Center, and I'm actually a professor of game design, if you can believe it.
The raw materials that game designers work with are the rules.
What game designers do, in essence, is create the rules of the game. But when players enter into the system of a game and decide to follow the rules, what results is play. And play is the opposite of rules. So while rules are fixed and rigid and logical, play is improvisational and creative and spontaneous. And that's such an amazing, weird little paradox of games.
The goal of good game design is what Eric calls meaningful play.
And it's sort of a shorthand for making sure that you're taking care of your players.
Ensuring that players stay engaged and that their actions have consequences.
All of that makes sense.
That's Blake Eskin. He makes the Observatory podcast for Design Observer.
But there's one game, it's a really popular one, and when I play it, I don't feel taken care of as a player. I feel bored, I feel trapped, I feel like it's never going to end.
Here I go.
Monopoly.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Whoa!
I get some money, you get some money. I get some money, you get some money.
You are a race car, or a hat, or an iron, or a Scotty dog.
I'm the Scotty dog.
I'm the hat.
You're circling around and around the board. Passing go, collecting $200. Buying property. Having to pay when you land on someone else's property. Building houses. Passing go again. Circling again.
Oh no!
That's usually the critique of Monopoly, that it's very, very slow and long, and it ends up being this very gradual slog where one player gradually survives the others as, you know, everyone is bleeded out for money from each other.
Exactly.
No, I hate it.
Here's Louis C.K. talking about playing the game with his kids.
A Monopoly loss is dark. It's heavy. When she loses at Monopoly, I gotta look at her little face and I go, okay, so here's what's gonna happen now, okay? All your property, everything you have, all the railroads, your houses, all your money, that's mine now.
Monopoly can be slow. The losses, as Louis C.K. pointed out, can be dark. And yet, the game is incredibly popular.
It breaks all of these classic rules of good design, but in very interesting ways.
When Monopoly was created, it wasn't supposed to teach children to be ruthless capitalists. In fact, it was just the opposite.
It became the embodiment of everything that it originally set out to critique. And I think that's maybe part of the fascination of Monopoly. Maybe buried inside this capitalist fantasy are somehow the seeds of its opposite, hidden there somewhere within the design.
The game we call Monopoly goes back to the Gilded Age, a time of great prosperity in America, at least for the Carnegies and the Rockefellers. The rest of the country was not doing so well. Income inequality was growing. but an economist named Henry George thought he had a solution.
Henry George proposed a single tax theory, which would completely upend the American capitalist system as we know it. Land ownership would be abolished. Instead, all land would be public property. Individuals and companies would rent land, and that rent would get taxed. And this, in theory, would create an economy where wealth is distributed more fairly. The theory is much more complicated than that, but that's all you're going to get from me. Go listen to Planet Money or something.
This single tax theory gained a lot of followers, including one woman named Lizzie McGee.
Lizzie McGee was a woman who I consider to be very before her time.
That's Mary Pilon, author of The Monopolists, Obsession, Fury, and the Scandal Behind the World's Favorite Board Game. The story that starts with Lizzie McGee.
Lizzie McGee decided to spread the word about single tax theory. In 1904, she patented a board game that she called the Landlord's Game.
Landlords at the time were considered to be bad people.
McGee took a white square board, labeled one corner go to jail, another one she labeled public park, and the rest of it was rimmed with rectangular spaces that players could rent or buy. There were no colors, no graphics, just black rectangles and writing on a white board.
Players rolled dice and circled the board, buying up properties and railroads, collecting money and paying rent. Players who ran out of money were sent to the poorhouse. Players who trespassed on land were sent to jail.
And she created two rule sets. There was a monopolist rule set and then a single tax rule set.
If you played with the single tax rules, when one player develops property, everyone benefits. But in the monopolist rules, the goal was to create monopolies and crush each other. The hope was you'd play with both sets of rules, see the differences, and come away totally sold on the single tax theory.
The more vice-laden one clearly has taken off, ironically enough.
Of course, everyone preferred the monopolist rule set, because in a board game, being evil is fun. And the Landlord's Game had a greater capacity for evil than most board games at the time.
If you look at games that are like late, very end of 19th century, early 20th century games, there's not a lot of depth to them. They're mostly games where you're just kind of moving characters along a track, rolling a die. And I think in that context, the Landlord's Game probably stuck out as something really interesting, weird, different, and innovative.
The Landlord's Game made its way around the Northeast to college campuses and activist circles.
Folk variations organically popped up in different cities, and properties on the board would be named after real streets and locations.
And around the time of the Depression, a man named Charles Darrow stumbled upon a version of the Landlord's Game that was made in a Quaker community in Atlantic City, New Jersey. It featured locations like Marvin Gardens and Vermont Avenue and the Boardwalk.
Darrow basically nabbed the Quaker version of the Landlord's Game and started to tweak it into a board game that he would sell himself. He called it Monopoly.
Darrow, my reporting has yielded that he was in fact unemployed at the time. He was in fact living in the Philadelphia area. And this game made him enormously successful.
Darrow made one game a day by hand. He sold them out of his home for $4 a piece. He used bright, cheap paint, and he misspelled a few of the locations in Atlantic City. And yes, he totally stole the concept.
The look of Darrow's game was pretty much the Landlord's Game, but Darrow improved the graphics and added some color.
There's a kind of graphic clarity to Monopoly that's really satisfying.
And the game started selling like hotcakes. Maybe because it was really fun to handle all of that fake money, especially during the Depression.
And then Monopoly attracts the attention of a family-owned company called Parker Brothers.
They buy the Darrow game and they buy his leftover stock. It saves the firm from the brink of destruction.
But Parker Brothers wasn't pleased when they learned that Darrow had not actually invented Monopoly. So they start to stamp out all the different versions of Lizzie McGee's game, and finally they buy her patent.
Lizzie McGee, as best as we know, got $500 for creating, you know, the Landlord's Game, which is, I consider to be the foundation of Monopoly.
Monopoly then becomes the sole property of Parker Brothers, and for years Parker Brothers perpetuates the myth that Darrow just invented the game out of whole cloth. Monopoly made a lot of money for Parker Brothers. They eventually got acquired by Hasbro.
And of course, today, Monopoly is everywhere. There are hundreds of variations on the game, international competitions, that McDonald's promotion, and all kinds of shirts and mugs and neckties printed with Monopoly graphics.
But just because people buy it doesn't mean they play it.
I think that people buy Monopoly not necessarily to play it as a great game, but because it's Monopoly, and it's something you have in your closet, and it's something you should have.
To me, Monopoly feels like a cheesy Christmas album, like, you know, Bing Crosby or something, where it's not something that you would normally listen to, but it's kind of something that you might drag out in an ironic way or in a nostalgic way.
And that nostalgia feeds itself.
Then you have parents with kids that are getting nostalgic about the games that they played, and they want to introduce those games to their children and play them again.
In other words, Monopoly isn't popular because it's a great game. It's only popular now because it was popular then. And we don't even play by the real rules.
Well, nobody plays right to begin with. How many people have actually read the rule set that comes in a commercial Monopoly set?
For example, the way most people play, if you land on an available property that you don't want to buy or can't afford, nothing happens. And that is technically wrong.
According to the directions, if you land on an available property that you don't want or can't afford, it gets auctioned off. This could make the game way more exciting, though not necessarily faster.
If you can imagine every turn, it's not like a quick decision, do I buy this or not? It's like, let's start an auction. What do you think? Well, let's auction this, and who's going to bid higher? And so it drags out the game.
But Eric is reluctant to accuse anyone of playing Monopoly wrong.
The way we play Monopoly, even all the cheating that happens, Monopoly is notorious for people cheating and hiding money and taking money from the bank and things like that. That is Monopoly, right? Monopoly is not just a set of rules. Monopoly is all of the cultural meaning and all of the ways that we play it and all of the ways that we use and misuse the game.
And this is why some game designers defend Monopoly.
The game designer, Richard Garfield, he's a brilliant game designer. He invented collectible card games with Magic the Gathering. I've heard him defend Monopoly and say there's some things about Monopoly that are actually kind of interesting.
I was at a convention and came back, and my son told me that he had played Monopoly for the first time with his sister and that they really enjoyed the game.
That's the legend himself, Richard Garfield.
I said, oh, that's great. How many times did you play and who won? And he looked at me with a strange look in his eye and he said, oh, you don't win Monopoly, you just play it. They're not as much about the rank at the end. If you're having fun doing the process of play, for a lot of kids, that's a game.
So for kids, meaningful play in Monopoly comes when the game is treated less like playing chess and more like playing house.
Collecting property is a good thing, getting money is a good thing, being the Scotty dog is a good thing, and not going to jail is a good thing, but there's not necessarily an end to it all. It's just you're following rules and making decisions and accumulating good and bad things.
For me, this was a total revelation.
I think there may be something to that, but I have to say, I played Monopoly for the first time with my boys recently, and they were totally in it to win it. Carver crushed us all. And when we went bankrupt, he would continue to give us little bits of money just so we would stay in the game and he could crush us all over again. He was exactly the kind of capitalist that Lizzie McGee was trying to warn us about. And he loved it.
My favorite part of Monopoly is taking money from my brother when I made huge hotels. I really like annoying my brother.
"99% Invisible" was produced this week by Blake Eskin and Avery Truffleman as the Iron, with Sam Greenspan as the Hat, Katie Mingle as the Scotty Dog, and game winner Kurt Kohlstedt as the Wheelbarrow. Also playing was Morgan Dewey as my favorite, the Race Car. Eric Zimmerman co-wrote a handbook on game design called Rules of Play. In it, he and Katie Salen tell you pretty much everything you need to design a good game, and you can easily take those tools to design a good anything. Special thanks this week to Emily Kwong and Jesse Fuchs, Matt Forbeck, Sophie Belkin-Sessler, and everyone at the NYU Game Center. We are a project of 91.7 KALW in San Francisco and produced out of the offices of ArcSign, an architecture and interiors firm in beautiful downtown Oakland, California.
Small business owners are always passionate about their work, and they have a lot on the line. Let Verizon help champion your small business dream. Whether you own a small business, are scaling one, or starting one from scratch, you need Verizon Small Business Days. From April 22nd through April 28th, you can partner with Verizon business experts for small business support. During Verizon Small Business Days, you can receive a free tech check with a one-on-one meeting with a Verizon business expert. Plus, Verizon business experts will provide you with personalized advice and solutions that are tailored to your specific small business needs. Take advantage of special offers and deals during Verizon Small Business Days and get more for your business. Don't miss out. Book an appointment today. Just call 1-800-483-4428 or go to verizon.com/small business. Whether you're a family vacation traveler, a business tripper, or a long weekend adventurer, Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Choice Hotels has over 7,400 locations and 22 brands, including Comfort Hotels, Radisson Hotels, and Cambria Hotels. Get the best value for your money when you book with Choice Hotels. Cambria Hotels features locally inspired hotel bars with specialty cocktails and downtown locations in the center of it all. That's what I like. I like to be within walking distance of all the stuff. Radisson Hotels have flexible workspaces to get the most of your business travel and on-site restaurants. And at Comfort Hotels, you'll enjoy free hot breakfast with fresh waffles, great pools for the entire family, and spacious rooms. With so many hotel brands, Choice Hotels allows you to prioritize what you need. Choice Hotels has a stay for any you. Book direct at choicehotels.com, where travels come true. Arkel believes in delightful design for every home. And thanks to their online-only model, they have some really delightful prices, too. Everyone who's listened to this show for years knows how in the bag I am for Arkel furniture. I love it. I have a ton of it in my home. But our sound engineer, Martin Gonzalez, just redid his whole living room with Arkel. He sent me a picture, and it was almost comical how much Arkel furniture he stuffed into his Brooklyn apartment. So I'm going to let him tell you what he thinks.
I'm sitting here enjoying my brand new Arkel living room set. I replaced my junky, free and Craigslisted furniture with a very nice set from the Senni collection. I got a sofa, love seat, and chair, all in matching volcanic gray. Were delivered right to my door. All I did was pop open the boxes and screw some legs on. I am so much more excited to have people over now that I'm not embarrassed of my furniture. I did, in fact, use this offer code that Rowan is about to tell you.
Arkel is offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. To claim, visit arkel.com/99, and the discount will automatically be applied at checkout. That's arkel.com/99 for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. 99% Invisible is sponsored by Squarespace. Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With Squarespace, it's easy to create a beautiful website all on your terms. You don't want to miss Fluid Engine, a next-generation website design system from Squarespace with reimagined drag-and-drop technology for desktop or mobile. And with the new Asset Library, you're able to manage all your files from one central hub and use them across the Squarespace platform. Get started with one of Squarespace's professional website templates with designs for every category and use case, then customize your look, update the content, add features to fit your unique needs. I made my website, RomanMars.com, so long ago. I built it with Squarespace tools. It was so simple. I followed a good template. I customized it a little bit, add some social media stuff, and people get in touch with me for that website. It's perfect for my needs. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/invisible to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
You can find this show and like the show on Facebook. All of us are on Twitter, Instagram, and Spotify. But to find out more about this story, including cool pictures and links, and listen to all the episodes of 99% Invisible, you must go to 99pi.org.
Radiotopia from PRX.
Shopping for skincare is frustrating. Buy it, try it, toss it, repeat. Curology is here to help. Curology pairs with your own licensed dermatology provider who assesses your skin and prescribes you a custom formula to tackle acne, dark spots, or even fine lines. No guesswork, just a formula made to work for you. Get your consultation today at Curology.com/SXM. Curology, skincare with a face. Subject to consultation, subscription required. Cancel anytime.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.